Well, I'm used to people walking out while I'm preaching, just not in this many numbers, but good to see you out this evening, and thank the Lord, good to be back with y'all tonight, and always enjoy coming over here and camp and all that kind of stuff, so praise the Lord. A few announcements really quick back in the on the table back there. I've got some books with me, and some of y'all have seen these before. Calvinism in the Crosshairs is a biblical rebuttal to Calvinism, and that's $15. Divorced but not demoted, that's $5. Six if you are divorced, anyway. It's $5. I've got a new book since last time I was here. This just came out in February, and this is Dealing with Doubts, a study on the assurance of salvation. A lot of Christians struggle with assurance. And if you're like me, I heard a lot of bad preaching growing up. A lot of preachers just messed me up as a teenager because of their own ignorance. But anyway, but this is $10. So if you want to get that, that's on the back table there. Just see me. Just don't loop back there, all right? If you don't have any money, we can get you one. Brother Jack said he'd be paying for anybody that didn't have $10 on them tonight. And so just don't write a check, Brother Jack. Anyway, all right. How many glad you saved tonight? I'm glad you're in church tonight. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter number 9. I'm not going to keep you too terribly long. Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9 tonight. When you found your place, let's all stand for just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 27. We'll just read one verse tonight. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse 27. If you don't have a Bible, just look on beside of somebody that does. Just one verse, but I want you to notice the verse tonight now. And as it is appointed unto men, once to what? Die. But after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I want to draw your attention back to verse 27, where the scriptures say that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I want to preach on your appointment with death. Your appointment with death. Everybody's got an appointment with death, right? Now we understand the scriptures talk about those that die before their time. And we'll get into that a little bit in the message, but everybody's got an appointment. Unless Jesus comes back, and it wouldn't bother me if he did come back tonight, amen. I'm looking forward to camp, but if we never make it to camp, it won't bother me any, amen. Amen. And but if Jesus doesn't come back, every one of us is going to die. Every one of us. It's inevitable, right? We'll talk about it in the message. But I want to preach tonight on this thought, your appointment with death. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that you help me tonight as I preach. God, this is a serious matter, a serious thing. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I need a touch tonight. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would move through the scriptures upon the hearts and the ears of the listeners. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here, if they were to die tonight, or you were to come back in the rapture, if they're not 100% sure they're going to heaven, Lord, I pray tonight would be the night that they make that decision and get that settled in their hearts. Lord, keep the distractions low. Lord, I pray that you'd focus us in tonight on this very important subject matter. We love you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, I don't want to get into all the different nuances of the verse here, and you could talk about a lot of different things with this verse and all that kind of stuff. I want to keep it basic tonight because, let me say this, everybody in here, you have an appointment with death, right? It's already been stated, and I'll state it again, that unless Jesus comes back, everybody under the sound of my voice will die. Dying, scientists have figured out that dying is not just something that happens, it is a genetic disorder. They have figured out that dying is in your genes. It is a genetic disease, right? Well, I know exactly where it came from. I can quote you a verse on it. Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So that death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If you got a daddy, you're a sinner. Some of you ladies can say amen right there. The sin comes through the man. And my wife's not here, but she'd be shouting, she'd be running the aisles right now over that verse. That's why Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He had no earthly father, therefore no sin nature. But I want you to notice a few things tonight about this judgment, about this appointment that you will have with death. Number one, can I say, this appointment is inevitable. It is inevitable. You will not escape this appointment. I'm bad, man. I'm bad. My wife got me up at a chiropractor, and I, as much as I travel and sleep in different beds and different things, I'm about to the point where if I don't travel with my pillow, I don't sleep anymore. And as much as I'm in different hotel rooms and stuff, profit chambers, and my wife got me hooked up with this chiropractor, and I was supposed to go to an appointment, and I just slap forgot about the appointment. He said, "That's okay. He just will reschedule you." So he rescheduled me. I slap forgot to go to that appointment. And his receptionist called me and said, "Now, Mr. Schluter, if you'd like to come back, we can reschedule, but because you've missed two appointments in a row, that's $20. And I said, "We don't need to reschedule. Thank you." Click. Amen. I'm bad to miss appointments. If somebody doesn't write it on my forehead where I can see it while I'm brushing my teeth in the mirror, I'm just going to forget. But understand tonight that nobody's going to miss their appointment with death. There is no escaping this appointment. There is no forgetting this appointment. There's no rescheduling this appointment. There is coming a time when you will stand before a holy God and give an account for the things that you've done. It is inevitable. It doesn't matter how healthy you eat. It does not matter how many supplements you take. It does not matter what kind of experiments or how far science may go. Listen, science may let us live a lot longer than what we're living now, right? I mean, science may make some great leaps, and I don't know, maybe there's some people living today, some babies being born, maybe they'll see 150, 200 years old the way science is going. But when I say this, you better listen close. I don't care how long they can make a man live, every man one day will die. And there's a guy right now, and maybe you've seen him on social media or YouTube, but right now he's trying to keep it where he's never going to die. He's doing all this experiments. He measures out his food every day, and he does all these different exercises, and he has everything right down to a T on what the best science out there on how to never die. That dude could get in a car wreck tomorrow. I don't care what kind of precautions you take, one day it is inevitable you will die because you are a sinner. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is death coming for everybody that has ever lived because every man is a sinner. Even Jesus Christ, who is not a sinner, because he took our sin, died a death on the cross, right? It is inevitable. Not only that is it inevitable, but this appointment is unpredictable. This appointment is unpredictable. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 1, "Boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." This appointment that you have, here's the unfortunate thing about death. You never know when it's going to happen. Some people would say that's a blessing. Remember the songwriter P.P. Bliss, he had written down some words, and if you know the story about P.P. Bliss, if I'm getting this right, it might have been the guy, or it might have been the other guy, Horatio Spafford. Somebody can correct me after the service. I'm sure somebody would love to, but it was either him or Horatio Spafford, but they wrote the song, several hymns, and he was in a train wreck. They're on their way, and they were in a train wreck, him and his wife. And they had written that song, "It Is Well." Horatio Spafford had written that song, "It Is Well." And as they're in that train wreck, and one of them's thrown out, the wife there is caught in the wreckage, and he comes, and he says, I'm going to save you. She says, "There's no way for you to save me. Go out, go and live your life." And she said, no, I can't. He said, "I can't. I'm going to stay with you and die with you." And the flames engulfed their body. Now, it's said by eyewitnesses that as those people were dying there, that they were singing, "It is well with my soul." They later found in his suitcase, they found he was working on another song, and he says, "I know not what the future holds. God kindly veils my eyes." I don't know the day that you're going to die. You don't know the day I'm going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. But let me say this, it could be tonight. I don't know what tomorrow holds. The Bible says in the book of James, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Understand, if you're not saved here tonight, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die, every time you get on the highway, you are gambling with your soul. I see it all the time. There are people that are 25, 20, 18. They're high school players dropping dead of heart attacks. Happens all the time. All this research that's coming out about COVID and what COVID did to the body and what the vaccine's doing to the body. I mean, there's all this stuff coming out where, listen, man, you don't know what tomorrow holds. Young people getting cancer left and right. The cancer rate's through the roof. In fact, somebody in my church just got their mom just got diagnosed with colon cancer. She's under the age of 50. Got diagnosed with colon cancer. Understand, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You cannot predict the future. This appointment with death is unpredictable. A freak accident could happen. Something could take place, and a stroke, a heart attack, blood clot. We never know when we're going to meet this appointment. It's unpredictable. If you're lost here tonight and you don't know if you're saved and you don't know if your sins have been forgiven, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you walk out of this door tonight not knowing where you're going to spend eternity, you are gambling with your soul. David said, there's but what? A step between me and death. If I walk down these steps, I'm not to the bottom yet, but I get down to the bottom step here, I am only one step from being off the stage. That's how close you are to death tonight, every one of us. There is but a step between me and death. Understand tonight, this is an inevitable appointment and this is an unpredictable appointment. I've got time. I'll do it later. Not tonight. I'll do it at camp. I'll do it Sunday. I'll do it next week. I'll do it when I'm older. Understand tonight, you never know where you're going to be. You never know what's going to happen. You never know when death will knock on your door. It's unpredictable. I had a preacher growing up. He used to say, you go down to the graveyard, there's graves that are this big, and this big. He said, you never know when death's going to come knocking. Well, I'm a teenager. I've got years in front of me. You don't know that. Well, I'll get right with God when I get a little bit older. Well, okay, I'll get right with God when I get into college. Well, just let me get a family first. Well, just let my kids get a little bit older. See, it's never ending. You don't get right with God. And listen, the Scriptures, every time the Scriptures admonishes a man to be saved, it is always an immediate admonition. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you will hear His voice. The Bible never talks about a man waiting till tomorrow or waiting till next week or waiting till next month. The Bible demands repentance now. It's unpredictable. You say, well, preacher, I've got my life to live. What's going to happen? I'll do it later. Listen, procrastination robs heaven of its fairest jewels. The devil does not have to get you to reject the gospel. The devil just has to get you to neglect the gospel. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's not the fact that I don't want to be saved, I don't want to do that. No, it's not the fact that you're rejecting it, but you are neglecting it. Well, no, just not right now, just not tonight. Just what is everybody going to think and what's everybody going to say? I'm going to tell you what we're all going to think. We're all going to think, hallelujah. What's everybody going to say? We're going to say, boy, we're glad you saved. It's unpredictable. It is inevitable. Not only that, but number three, not only is this a judgment inevitable and unpredictable, it is irreversible. This judgment, this appointment with death, it is irreversible. You better listen to me. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You say, Brother Sluter, what's going to happen if I die and I'm not saved? You'll go to hell. How long do I have to stay there? Forever and ever and ever and ever. Well, here's what will happen, preacher. When I die and I stand before God, I'll just tell him I'm sorry then. I'll just get it right then. It's too late. It's too late. God has given you time on this earth. Listen, I believe that God has given every man that has in his right mind and is able to, I believe that God has given every man the opportunity to be saved. It is up to you about whether or not you accept it. And when you get, listen, when you die and you either wake up in heaven or you wake up in hell, whatever, wherever you are, it is irreversible. When I die, I'll just lay in the ground. I've not been that bad. I know I've not been that good, but I've not been that bad either. So I'll just be in limbo. There's no such thing as limbo. Well, I'll just lay in the ground. Your body will lay in the ground, but your soul lives on somewhere. Well, when I die, I'll go to purgatory. No such place exists. Well, when I die, I'll stand before God and he'll see my heart and he'll understand and he'll have mercy on me. No, listen, if you reject God's gift, if you reject God's salvation, you refuse to get saved, your pride or you were scared, whatever it was, if a man rejects Christ and he dies without salvation, he goes to hell forever. It is irreversible. It is irreversible. This appointment, once you die, immediately there's a judgment as soon as you die. We won't get into the great white throne and all that kind of stuff. I know a doctor would get all that. But let me say this. As soon as you die, there is a judgment about where you're going to spend eternity. It is irreversible. Hell would not be so bad. I remember hearing I was reading somebody. I can't remember who I was reading, but I was reading somebody, and they were writing about people in their deathbed, you know, deathbed experiences and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, some people say, well, I'll just get right with God right before I die. That's the problem. You just don't know where your deathbed's going to be. Your deathbed could be your car tonight. You know, the Bible, I heard a preacher say one time that the Bible records one deathbed profession, the thief on the cross, one deathbed profession so that none will despair. If you're down at the end of your life and cancer's eating your body and you're ready to get saved, God will save you on your deathbed. God will save it. Somebody said, Brother Slater, Gacy, the clown killer, do you think that serial killer, you think that right before they killed him, you know, judicially killed him, you think he could have just accepted Jesus right before he died and went to heaven? Yep. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. The Bible only records one deathbed profession so that none will despair, but only one so that none will presume. Now, writing about deathbed, you know, deathbed experiences and all that kind of stuff, and you better listen to me tonight. It is irreversible where you're going to spend eternity. Once you die, that's it. It's over. But can I say this? Not only is this appointment, not only is it unpredictable, not only is it inevitable, not only is it irreversible, but this appointment is unimaginable. You better listen very closely tonight. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm just about done, if the Lord will help me. This appointment is unimaginable. Can you imagine? Now listen, can I take you in your mind's eye for a second? Can you imagine a place? I mean, this we're talking about the Lord. The God that created everything by speaking. The God that literally created the worlds and the galaxies and the universe and the sun, created everything, I mean designed everything perfectly. That God, listen, we're talking about a God that created a place to reward men for all of eternity. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, a perfect environment. Can you imagine a city? Listen, I've been to some beautiful places on this earth, but they're still sin cursed because we're on this world. Can you imagine a place that God has designed specifically for His children to live throughout all of eternity? I mean, I'm talking about an unimaginable place of beauty and peace and happiness and joy and rest. You better listen to me tonight, though. But that very same God who has made an unimaginable place of rest for those that have accepted Him has created an unimaginable place of torment for those that reject Him. And the same God that put all the time and effort into heaven is the same God that put all the time and effort into hell. We find a glimpse of it in Luke chapter 16. We find that there's a man that dies and goes to hell. And the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, there's a great gulf betwixt us. He said the people that are there can't come to here and the people that are here can't come to there. It is unimaginable. The Bible talks about hell being a place of fire and torment, no water, a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a place of total isolation and separation. Notice now, it's not separation from God. Hell is God's holiness outside of his mercy. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The Bible says that people there, the Bible says that they weep and cry and gnash their teeth, and there's no rest for them day or night. The Bible says that there will be a judgment where death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says that any man whose name is not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now I know hell's not popular preach on anymore, but hell's just as real as the pews you're sitting on right now. Put your hand up in front of you. Hell's just as real as that hand in front of your eyes. In fact, I would dare say hell's more real than anything you're seeing right now. Hell is a real place where real people really go and they really spend all of eternity. You say, what in the world could be so bad that God would put a man in hell for all of eternity? Listen to me now. I'll tell you what's so bad. Rejecting the sacrifice of his son. You've got an appointment with death. This appointment, it is inevitable. This appointment, it is unpredictable. This appointment, it is irreversible. And this appointment, it is unimaginable. I cannot imagine, Brother Terry, I cannot imagine standing before the Lord. And as we're standing, or as people are standing there at the great white throne judgment, and they're coming before him. And the Bible says in Revelation 20 that the books are opened. What books? Well, number one, the Bible's opened. Listen to me tonight. God is going to judge you out of the things written in that book right there. You ever told a lie before? Brother, sir, you mean to tell me that telling some lies every now and then means I got to go to hell for all of eternity? Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8 says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. You stand before God and comes up and he says, name please. I don't know if anybody here named this. If you're named this, you might want to get saved or not. I don't know, but John Daniel Smith flips through. Name's not there. And God looks out over the balconies of heaven and says, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the lake of fire. Depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Amen. The finality of it. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I'm not trying to scare anybody tonight. If you're saved, you're saved. If you're trusting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to get you to heaven, you're saved. I'm not trying to make you doubt. If you doubt, go get one of my books. But can I say this to you tonight? If you're not sure you're going to heaven, you've never been born again. You say, well, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. That's the problem. Pretty good people don't go to heaven. Amen. Well, I've never done anything that bad. That's the problem. You have done something that bad. You say, well, what is it? I've never killed anybody. Yeah, but you've offended a holy God. You've broken his law. Well, I've never killed anybody. Yeah, the Bible said, Jesus said in Matthew 5 that if you've been angry with your brother without a cause, you're guilty of murder. It's like you've killed him. Well, I've never cheated on my spouse. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 5 that if you've looked upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. In the Old Testament, you could be stoned to death for disobeying your father and mother. Well, preacher, but I've never robbed any banks. You ever stolen any something, if it's something small? Thou shalt not steal. You ever took God's name in vain? Committed blasphemy? Amen. How are we doing so far? I've not even gotten through all 10 of them. You ever been covetous? You ever looked at something and said, I wish I had that instead of them? Bore false witness? How about it, folks? I'm telling you tonight, you're a sinner. You're looking at a sinner. The difference between me and you, though, if you're not saved, the difference between you as a sinner and me as a sinner is I've accepted Jesus Christ as the payment for my sin. All my sins are under the blood of Jesus tonight. So, preacher, I don't know. I'm going to heaven. How can I know for a fact? I'm glad you asked. First of all, A, you got to admit you're a sinner. You've offended God. Well, Jesus is just here to help me through all my struggles, and if I just believe in God. No. Listen, the devils believe in God. If thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Well, you know, me and the man upstairs got it all figured out, and me and God, you know, God's got me and all this. Listen, you know, me and the man upstairs, we've struck a deal. God don't strike no deals. You either come His way or you don't come at all. You either go through the sacrifice of Jesus or you don't come at all. Well, He's a good old boy. I'm just a good old boy. Good old boys go to hell just like anybody else. You better listen to me tonight. You're a sinner. You've broken God's law. And the Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. Angry with the wicked every day. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Psalm 5:5. That's the bad news. You're under condemnation. If you're not saved here tonight, the wrath of God abides on you. But God commendeth His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, mankind has been trying to get to heaven. Hey, give me two volunteers. Brother, I forget your name. You right here. Yeah, you with the face. Yeah, come on. Brother Ben, you come on. Remind me of your name. Oh, great. All right. Yeah. Now, I want you to notice here. I'm going to have Brother Luke. He's going to represent the Lord. Use your imagination. I'm going to have Brother Ben. He's going to represent the sinner. Don't have to try too hard, all right? But stay with me here. You ready? For 6,000 years, man sinned. Adam sinned. He ate the fruit. And the Bible says because of that sin, it separated us from God. And for 6,000 years, man's been trying to get back to God. Well, I can be baptized. I've been baptized. I've been dunked in water. The only thing water does is make you wet. You go down a dry center, come up a wet center. You can be baptized till the tadpoles know your name. Ain't going to do nothing for you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the waters and the baptismal being. No. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We believe in salvation by the blood, not the tub. Amen. Try to get to heaven by getting baptized. Go ahead. No, you're good. Go ahead. No, you can't get there. Can't get there. Well, preacher, I go to church. I go to youth group on Wednesday nights, and I go to Sunday school, and I was raised in church. My mamma was a Christian. My papa was a deacon, and my great grandfather was a preacher, and I've always believed in God, preacher. Your church membership can't get you to heaven. You can come to church. You can write your name on the pew. Be here every time the doors are open. That means you're going to heaven. Sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car, and sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. Try to get to heaven by... No, he can't get there. Church membership, he can't get there. And he that goes in another way is a thief and a robber, amen. Amen. Yeah. Sorry to bring the Bible into the conversation. Hold on a second. Preacher, I'm a good person. I do good things. That's the problem. If you were to crawl across a sea of glass just to donate your last kidney to a dying child, it's not good enough to get you into heaven. There's no amount of good works. Well, I've done a lot of good, preacher. Yeah. How many good works does it take to undo one bad work? How much good do you have to do to outweigh the bad? By the way, you still sin every day and don't even realize it. He can't get to heaven by doing good things. He can't get to heaven by church membership. He can't get to heaven by baptism. The only way that a man gets to heaven is 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He took every sin you've ever committed, all the stuff you've watched on the internet, all the songs you've listened to with filthy stuff, all the things you've done with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, all the times you've cheated, all the times you've lied, all the drugs you've ever done, all the alcohol you've ever drank. He took all of that and he took it on himself. He became that sin and he died on the cross and paid your sin debt. Now watch it. He can't get to God any other way, but Jesus Christ came down. Job said in Job 9:33, he says, I wish there was a daysman. I wish there was a daysman. I wish there was somebody betwixt me and God that would lay his hand on God and lay his hand on me and bring us together. He said, I wish there was somebody. Thank God, I'm glad to report to you there is somebody. Jesus Christ took God in one hand and he took man in the other and he died and bridged the gap. Thank you, gentlemen. Notice here now, Jesus Christ bridged the gap so that you could get to heaven. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you better listen to me. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. I beseech you. Trust me, it behooves you. I'm pleading with you tonight. If you're not saved, you say, preacher, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm begging you tonight, don't leave here without knowing. You can leave this church tonight knowing for a fact you're going to heaven. You say, well, I prayed and asked Jesus in my heart. Asking Jesus in your heart doesn't get you to heaven. Oh, man, I heard it all. Well, if you'll just ask Jesus in your heart, you can go to heaven. That's not the gospel. Well, preacher, I'm trying to live it. You'll live it right into hell. You can't live it. Well, preacher, I'm doing the best I can. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain, preacher. I'm just enduring. No, you're going to go to hell. The gospel is the fact that Jesus died on the cross for you, was buried, and rose again the third day, and all of your faith and trust has to be in that. And that alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. Well, I believe that, but also I got baptized. You're going to hell. Well, I believe that, but I believe you got to be a good person after that. You're going to go to hell. It is Jesus or nothing. It is Calvary or nothing. It is the gospel or nothing. I don't care what kind of prayer you prayed when you was five. I don't care how many times you turned over a new leaf. I don't care if you put your name on a card. I don't care about any of that. By the way, praying a prayer doesn't mean you lost. Putting your name on a card doesn't mean you lost. I'm asking you, what are you trusting in tonight?
Yes. Amen.
Are you going to heaven when you die? If you're not sure tonight, well, you can get sure. Now, if you're here tonight and you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you say, preacher, I remember that I got saved. I put my whole faith and trust in Jesus when he died on the cross for me. Then you're saved. You ain't got to come back here and do it over and over again. But if you're here tonight and you're lost, you say, preacher, I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't get saved. You can get saved tonight. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. Whoever's going to play on the piano, if you could come back, but don't play yet. I'll tell you when to play. Now listen, nobody's looking around. Nobody's moving. Nobody's talking. Serious time. Serious thing. Now listen, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come and try to do something after the service. No, none of that. But I do want to pray for you tonight. Let me pray for you. Would there be anybody here? Now, nobody's looking. I just want you to be honest. Just be honest with the Lord. He already knows anyway. Would there be anybody here that'd be honest enough to say, "Preacher, if I were to die tonight, I don't know where I'd spend eternity, preacher. I'm concerned about my soul. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. Preacher, would you please pray for me?" Would there be anybody like that? Would you just quietly and quickly slip up your hand? Anybody like that tonight? "Preacher, would you pray for me? I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't know if I'm saved. Would you raise your hand?" Anybody like that? "Preacher, pray for me." Anybody at all? Anybody at all tonight? "Preacher, that's me. The devil's fighting you. The devil's saying, don't you raise your hand. Don't you raise your hand. If you need to raise your hand, why don't you raise it?" Anybody at all tonight? "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity." Anybody at all? All right. Let me ask you another question. Have you said, "Preacher, I know somebody. They need to be saved. I know somebody. I've got a family member. Somebody, if they were to die tonight, I know for a fact they'd go to hell." Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that tonight? Boy, hands all over the place. I want to ask you a question. Let me ask you one more. You ready? How many say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. But I'm going to be honest. There's some things I'm involved with tonight. There's some things that I'm doing I know are not pleasing to the Lord. Preacher, I know for a fact that I've got some things I need to get right with the Lord." Hands already going up. Anybody else tonight? Woo-hoo. Listen, there's a step between you and death. You'll die and you won't go to hell, thank the Lord. But, boy, there might be a whole lot of things you got to talk to the Lord about. He might have some things y'all got to sit down and discuss. You're here tonight, listen to me. If you're here tonight and you didn't raise your hand, you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not going to heaven." But you didn't raise your hand, Brother Jack's right over here on the front row. I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to come to him. I want you to get saved tonight. If you raised your hand for any reason tonight, as soon as I get done praying, sister's going to play on the piano. I want you to come. Father, I love you. Lord, I pray tonight that you do a work in our hearts.